Welcome to Generations with Kevin Swanson, looking at life through the eyes of a biblical worldview. He grapples with the issues of education, culture, and family. He doesn't have all the answers, but one thing is for sure. He is committed to preserving our faith and freedom for the next generation. And now, here's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Folks, welcome to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director of Christian Home Educators, and I'm a pastor, but the reason I'm on the air with you today, I'm a father of five, and we're raising our children. We're home educating out on the plains of eastern Colorado. A bunch of stuff in the news today is a new survey. Poor kids are fatter than city kids. Excuse me. There's a new survey out. Poor kids are fatter than rich kids. This is based on a sample size of 10,800 kids, 12 to 17 years of age. And this is new to me, Dave. I used to think poor kids were going to be thinner than rich kids, but I guess there's a whole new definition for poverty these days. They're getting enough to eat.
I think everybody's getting enough to eat. I just think that the rich kids can afford to exercise.
Well, maybe that's it. Afford to exercise. Dave, you got two legs. Walk around the block. I mean, that's what I was doing this morning when you drove up.
No, I mean exercise.
Walk around the block. That's for free. I did it for free, Dave.
I know. I mean exercise, though. That's where there's a personal trainer. There's designer clothing involved, perhaps uniforms, a lot of equipment.
The $200 tennis shoes. Can't afford all that, so I guess you just stay home and just eat.
And play video games.
A local daycare operator faces 8 years in prison for molesting a... A local daycare operator faces 8 years to life in prison for molesting a bunch of little girls. He operated centers throughout the Denver metro area. I hope it wasn't your little girl. Wasn't mine. A survey of homeschool moms recently asked a simple question, and here's the question. Were you prepared for your role as wife and mother? And 70% of them said, No, they weren't prepared. My wife said that. She wasn't prepared at all. And ladies and gentlemen, most Christian families, most Christian churches, schools, Christian colleges, most Christian schools do not prepare young women to be wives and mothers. That's not part of the course description. That's not their purpose. They're not out there to prepare young women to be wives and mothers. It's a worldview thing. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the wrong worldview operating in the minds and lives of most people out there. They're not out there to prepare their little girls to be wives and mothers. That's not what our egalitarian society wants. But there are few tougher things in life than raising children. Let me repeat that one more time. There are few tougher things that anybody will ever do in life than raising children. I'm not talking about processing children through a human processing center where 3,000 children are moved through the assembly line every day. I'm not talking about public schools. I'm talking about preparing children for life. I'm talking about the hard application of wisdom, creativity, vision, love, and all those things to hone the character of our children, to prepare them for the real issues of life. Our values today do not value children. Children are important. They're not important to the average person. Hey, the birth rate dropped from 4.0 to 2.0 during the 20th century while the square footage of homes doubled in size. Children are no longer a value today. Motherhood is despised because it doesn't have any economic value. Right, Dave? Isn't that ultimately the reason? Motherhood has no economic value. That's why it's despised.
You're not going to comment. I take it.
Well, the people with that worldview that are running our world are destroying our world. Ladies and gentlemen, our educational system is failing. It is failing. Hey, literacy rates among college graduates dropped 10% just in the last 10 years. We're quickly losing our character as a nation. 36% of children born without fathers, American families weakest in the Western world. That's a Rutgers University study done just recently. Yeah, we're losing our civilization. We're going to lose our economics because we're not raising children of character and we're not doing what it takes to raise those children of character. Let me repeat what I just said. There are few tougher things that anybody will ever do in life than raise children. And that's why the few that do so, the few homeschool moms or stay-at-home moms that pour their lives as an investment into future generations are the modern-day heroes. And thank God there are a few out there doing it still. There will be a little character left in the next generation because there happen to be a few stay-at-home moms that are willing to invest the sweat and the tears and the time it takes to hone the character hour in and hour out, day in and day out. They're willing to invest the time to raise those children. And they're not going to do it without difficulty, folks. There will be potential discouragement. It will be difficult. In just a moment, I'm going to talk to a homeschool mom who has run the race. She has done the work. And she has faced discouragement, incredible depression through it all. But she's come out victorious. Steve and Terry Maxwell are from Titus2.com. And they have raised 8 children. Their oldest is 26. We are going to talk with Steve and Terry Maxwell next on Generations. Stay with us.
Fasten your seatbelt. Hang on to your hat. Generations will be right back. Deeply embedded on the front lines of the War of the Worldviews, here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. Today, the topic is battling discouragement. Everybody faces discouragement, especially over the long haul as we walk through the Christian life with all the challenges that lie before us. And today, on air with us is Steve and Terry Maxwell. They are parents of 8 children, ages 9 to 26. They run a ministry called Titus 2. You can find it on the web at Titus2.com. They have homeschooled their children over the long haul since the 1980s. Welcome to Generation Steve and Terry.
Thank you so much.
Good to be here.
It's great to have you folks. And again, you guys have been at this over the long haul. I think it's hard not to be discouraged over the long haul. I mean, you can go, whether it be homeschooling or any other part of the Christian life, you can go for a year or two, but when you start slogging through 3, 5, 6, 8, 15 years, it seems like it's easy to get discouraged. Do you think we're losing focus when that happens, Steve?
Well, absolutely. The whole issue comes down to, Kevin, why are we doing it? Is this just a fad? Is this popular in the homeschool group? Or, of course, it will be there, but let's say the Sunday school group. Is this the latest thing within the people we're fellowshipping? Or the bottom line, which really everyone has to settle for themselves, is, has the Lord Jesus Christ called me to this? Because if it is Jesus Christ and he has directed this for our family, then, yes, we may be discouraged at some time. We may get a little tired at some time. We're going to run into all kinds of difficulties, but the bottom line is, Jesus Christ has called us to it. Now it is a matter of obedience and not preference.
And maybe we forget who we're working for as we're doing the job.
Amen. And that really becomes the foundational issue. Why am I doing it? And if it's obedience, which it should be, really, in fact, everything in our Christian walk should boil down to obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, and when we talk about homeschooling itself isn't much of a walk in the park. What do you think it is that makes homeschooling such a challenge?
Well, the sheer investment, I mean, again, is very similar to just our walk with Christ. And he said, well, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And the moms are the ones in the trenches. They are the ones that are facing a pretty heavy load every day. And I mean, think about even, at school when, at least, Kevin, you were homeschooled, weren't you?
I sure was.
See, I wasn't. I sat there in my little seat in public school, and when I had a paper rejected or sent back, I don't ever remember crying, when the teacher gave that to me. But, I mean, I don't know whether you want to admit it, but there's a chance, I mean, most homeschool children, they've been a little more emotional when mom is the one and she has turned that back. And Terry, I know that's happened a time or two with you.
Right.
Terry, why don't you speak to that for a little bit? What do you think it is that makes homeschooling a challenge for the average mom? I've said before that the people closest to you are the hardest to love sometimes. What do you think makes homeschooling such a challenge and tempts a mother to discouragement?
Well, I think it boils down to the busyness that puts into her life and having those children there with her all day, every day, and feeling the intensity of the responsibility for wanting those children to come out, loving the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and seeing that she has a huge influence on that. And she bears that responsibility in her heart. When she begins to fall behind with keeping up with the schoolwork, with keeping up with the housework, the laundry, all the chores, directing all the children in that, plus their school, that just mounts up to discouragement very, very quickly.
And that happened to you as well. I read one of your articles on Titus2.com and noted that you have faced discouragement yourself.
Yes, and I would call it way beyond discouragement. It was depression. Very, very difficult depression, very dark, extremely hard spiritually and emotionally. But the Lord Jesus Christ, in the process of our homeschooling, he wasn't just teaching the children. He was teaching me as well. And there was a lot that I had to learn in many areas of my life, particularly spiritually, but also in learning how to organize my day, how to keep up with the things that he was calling me to do in the practical area of my life, in the spiritual area of my life, and with the homeschooling. And all of that had a part of dealing with the depression and dealing with the discouragement.
Amen.
And as we said in the beginning when we started talking about this, a huge part of it was my focus. Is it going to be on me and how hard it is for me, what the struggle is for me, or is it going to be on the Lord Jesus Christ? And he has called me to be a soldier for him and to endure hardness as a good soldier, and I want that to be my focus.
Steve, you remember those days when Terry was going through discouragement. What did you do? What can a homeschool father do to encourage his wife?
Well, the first thing, I mean, and Kevin, it was so serious that there was a time I was actually on a plane traveling for business, and my heart was broken, just breaking, and I was crying out to the Lord, and I was seriously concerned for her safety, and so I. You know, the first chance I got called on the phone to whether to go home and whether to, it's just that's what it meant. And so I think it comes down to, you know, what are we going to do as dads? And so there was times when I was fasting and I felt the Lord just telling me clearly, as far as I'm not saying an audible voice, but my heart was at peace knowing that she was okay. It was going to be dark, but it was going to be okay. And so then we do whatever we need to do to help. And there was a time when she relates how a very difficult time, and I told her, honey, I'll school the children, you know, at night. Are you able? Are you willing just to even help them during the day, and you know, see to their needs during the day? And it can vary each home, but my encouragement, she tells others that my encouragement and the willingness to do that at night was enough that in the morning when she got up saying, well, I don't want him doing that all night. I want to have family time. And that was just enough to encourage her and help her through the day. And day by day, God's grace is new, and she was able to persevere.
I think dads can sometimes help to focus the vision a little bit, and then moms begin to refocus themselves, and that helps. It sort of brings a little bit more rationality to the home. But let's talk about the physical issues involved, because it seems to me that discouragement sometimes is tied into the fact that we may not get enough rest and our lives are just too busy.
Well, sleep was critical, and for me that meant earplugs, wearing earplugs at night so that I didn't hear all the little noises that would wake me up. But also a part of that, and Steve was the hearing, the ears then for the family. If the child needed mom or dad or a baby, then he would be listening for that and get me up if it was needed. Another big part for me was learning how to schedule my day so that we were going to bed at a set time, getting up. I was getting the children up so that we could get school. We had a plan for when we were going to do chores, when we were going to do school, so that I had all of that arranged meeting the priorities and responsibilities that the Lord had put into my life rather than being pushed by the things that just kind of popped up, because those then I would have time for at another time that would be set aside in the schedule for those things that came up, although there would be interruptions to my schedule. But an awful lot of moms struggle with not keeping up with the things that they need to do, and they're kind of floating through their day, but they're not getting school done. And that's absolutely critical for a homeschooling mom, is to have school time. And the same with meals and laundry and cleanup.
Ladies and gentlemen, today, battling discouragement. It affects just about everybody, but certainly homeschool moms and those that are taken with the multiple responsibilities of raising children and managing a home. Today, Steve and Terry Maxwell from Titus2.com on the phone line with us. Let's talk a little bit about thought life, because obviously our thoughts can tempt us to sin, and I know that's a major player in discouragement. How do you control your thought life?
I had to learn. It was key in my life, 2 Corinthians 10:5, where it tells us that we are to take every thought captive and bring it into the obedience of Christ. And that was something that I didn't know how to do. If I had those negative thoughts come into my mind, I just let them run. I did not take them captive to the obedience of Christ. And a key part of that for me as well has been having time set aside every morning to spend with the Lord, so that I was reading my Bible and I was praying and having that opportunity for Him every day to be teaching me and growing me in my relationship with Him and in learning more about His Word and how that applied to my life, so that I could be walking through my day and taking those thoughts captive. It became, I saw, a choice that I had to make on my part rather than just letting whatever was in my mind go.
Steve, as a father in my house, I've come to the realization that every house has an atmosphere. In other words, you set an atmosphere in your home pretty much on any given morning. How do you develop that atmosphere, whether it be an atmosphere of joy in Christ or an atmosphere of complaining and whining? How do you set the atmosphere in your home, Steve?
Well, I mean, that's a very good point, and I would say that I'm not smart enough that I consciously do that. And the whole goal of our home, though, is the goal of my heart is always, you know, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do. And so, that is the desire of my heart. So in the morning, we haven't had our Bible time is more in the evening. So when we have our family worship time, but, there was times when we had done that in the morning, but we have found the other thing is that it is really important when I see my children, since I now work out of the home, to greet them and letting the joy that's in my heart and seeing them be presented in my voice and on my face. Mm. You know, I want them to know that I am truly glad to see them. They are special to me and I love them. And so I would say that has a lot to do with it. And then speaking of the things of the Lord oftentimes. Mm.
You know, we only have a minute or two left, and again, I don't want to underestimate what it takes to homeschool and to raise children for a future generation. And specifically, focusing on moms, I have one final question. You guys performed a survey and found that 70% of homeschool moms were not prepared for their role as wife and mother. And I guess my question is, how do we do a better job with that? How do we prepare our daughters for this incredible challenge, for this journey, which is really a long haul? How do we prepare them to be mothers and wives?
Well, from our survey, it appeared that giving our daughters responsibility in the home was very key, that this idea of chores, that they would learn how to manage a home by giving them chores. Sometimes in our day and age, we are made to feel that if we give children chores, that's a negative. We just need to let them be children and let them play when they're little. And yet, what we saw in that survey is that those girls grew up to be moms who couldn't handle responsibility then. So in this, now, it's probably not the only way to prepare them, but from that survey and in this particular area that we were looking at, that was key, letting them do work and preparing them for their future. And we have a whole book that we have written on that called Managers of Their Chores, where we discuss that and help moms put together a chore plan for their not only for themselves but for their children, and have tools to help them do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, today, Steve and Terry Maxwell from Titus2.com. Some good practical advice today, and I know we just touched the surface on these issues that really impact a lot of homes out there. We appreciate you folks so much. We know you're coming to the conference in Denver this June, and we encourage folks to attend. Thank you again for joining us today on Generations. Steve and Terry.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
David, if there's anything I picked up today from this program, boy, I believe that moms will burn out when they do it alone. Again, vision is key, and the dad has to be part of that vision. Without a vision, the family perishes. That's what the Word of God says. The book of Proverbs says, without a vision, the people perish. And we say, without a vision, the family perishes. Eventually, you have moms who burn out. You get daughters who are not prepared to be moms. You get a future generation where 36% of children are born without fathers, and that, my friends, is how civilizations fail. Well, it's time that parents get some vision, and that's our encouragement on this program. We have got to get some vision for God, for His kingdom, and for future generations. And that is one of the reasons why I want to encourage you to attend our conference coming up here on June 15th, 16th, and 17th in Denver. 5,000 parents are converging on the Denver Merchandise Mart on June 15th, 16th, and 17th for our conference called Be Thou My Vision, A Prayer for the Generations. That's the name of the conference this year. Be Thou My Vision, A Prayer for the Generations. And we've got one of the greatest lineup of speakers that I think you could collect anywhere to establish vision for the family in the 21st century. Dr. R.C. Sproul Jr. is coming. Doug Phillips, Little Bear Wheeler, Greg Harris, Deborah Bell, Scott and Marcia Somerville, Zan Tyler, Mark Hamby, and it goes on and on and on. These are the who's who of great speakers for family vision in the 21st century, and they're all converging on the Denver Merchandise Mart on June 15th, 16th, and 17th. If you're not signed up yet, you need to be signed up. Go on the web to check.org, that's C-H-E-C.org, and sign up today. Or call 877-842-CHECK. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Generations, and you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.